So I'm going to throw you a little curveball. Instead of this all being the round robin kind of thing, I'm going to ask each of you to do like the two floor description of who you are and your company's USP. Then I'm going to break into one-on-ones. And then at the end, I'm going to give you each the, proverbial lightning round of three questions. Beautiful. You guys look petrified of me, but that's fine.
Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is episode 33 of Insider Interviews, your insider scoop about the media, marketing, and advertising industry. Now, you might have heard a little preamble talking about some round robin thing. Well, that was me talking to my panelists at ContentCast. And what's that? Well, I had the good fortune of being asked to help produce the first ever conference dedicated to the topic of iterating IP from podcasting to TV and back again. What the heck does that mean? Well, you know how TV shows are turning into podcasts to find new audiences, and podcasting has turned into TV shows and films. Think Homeland, think The Talking Dead. There's a ton of them out there. And so NatP engaged me to create this conference talking about exactly that. And so for my panel, I wanted it sort of to feel like a podcast, which is what I'm used to. So I asked Steve Wilson, the Chief Strategy Officer of Q-Code, Shalene Desai, who's the SVP of Adult Series for Warner Brothers Animation, Jaleka Lantigua-Williams, who created Lantigua Williams & Company, and Glenn Washington, the executive producer of Snap Judgment Studios, about iterating IP between podcasting and TV. The audio that you're hearing is lifted right off of the conference recording, so some of the quality of the sound might not be perfect, but the quality of the content is excellent. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, July 13th, then you still have a chance to register for free and watch the entire four-hour conference on July 14th at noon Eastern time at natp.com/contentcast. And if you really want to watch the whole thing over and over again, make sure you join NatP. It's a great organization. So here we go, my panel from ContentCast.
So I'm going to focus on each of you at a time. We're going to drill down on a property or something you're working on that's a really good example of the considerations around cross-platform IP. But first, I want to acknowledge to the audience that this is a panel of overachievers. I encourage the audience to go to natp.com and read all of their bios in detail. But for here and now, panelists, I'm going to ask each of you to just describe what you do in maybe two or three sentences that sums up your company and your business. Okay, everybody? So Jaleka, let's start with you.
I am the founder of Lantigua Williams & Co. We're an independent podcast and film studio. And we adopted the slogan, Erasing the Margins, earlier this year after 3 years of thinking about what it is that we want to do in the world. And that seemed to fit. We try to tell stories that make it really complicated to put things and people in boxes.
Got it. That's a good summary. Glenn, how about you?
My name is Glenn Washington. I am the host of Snap Judgment and Snap Judgment Studios. We created the show Spook, Heaven's Gate, and Snap Judgment.
Brief and sweet. Steve Wilson.
Hi, Steve Wilson. I'm Chief Strategy Officer at Q-Code Media. We specialize in making original scripted fiction podcasts. We're really trying to tell new stories with amazing creators and see them become the next wave of content that we all love in the world.
Excellent. And Shalene.
Hey, everyone. Shalene Desai. I'm the Senior Vice President of Animation at Warner Brothers Animation, and I also oversee our company's scripted podcast initiative for WarnerMedia.
Excellent. I told you this was a hot panel. So for our first mini episode, I thought that it would be great to start with somebody who has probably been in this podcast business for longer than I think probably any of us, Steve. So for a little one-on-one, you spent like 15 years at Apple. You're a font of knowledge. I think that you're probably putting that to good use at Q-Code. They're very lucky to have you, which is relatively newer to the industry. So I wanted to start with you so that you'd give us some building blocks.
Sure.
So what inspired you to join Q-Code and skip retiring with the gold Apple Watch?
Well, I certainly did enjoy my time at Apple. As you said, I spent around 15 years there working with partners in the content space. So I did editorial and partner relations and marketing for Apple Podcasts for some time. In working with partners, always envisioned myself going to the publisher side, having the opportunity to not just be on the platform side, but really work with original stories and amazing partners. And got to work with everyone in the podcast industry, some incredible people, including the panelists here. And you know, as I looked across the industry, I was fascinated by what Q-Code was doing. The company was started about 2 years ago by a former agent named Rob Herding. And Rob had seen time and again how Hollywood can be risk adverse and it can be challenging to start new stories. And so that's really how Q-Code was founded, to try and take amazing stories, incredible talent, and build new properties and audio experiences for people that the world had never heard before. And something I'd just sort of point out at the top is, you know, it's interesting in all the media that we consume, how fiction plays a really big role, except for in podcast. Fiction tends to be a smaller portion of podcast consumption, and we really see there being a huge opportunity to expand in that area. So I just had to jump at the chance to join Q-Code and really join the amazing journey and vision that they're building over there.
So it's safe to say that you are bullish on narrative audio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I think you also influence the decision on some content. Would that be true?
Yeah, we have a head of development, but certainly a member of the team who's thinking about what we should be building next.
Okay. And so when you and the team are deciding on that content, do you do it with an eye to the long tail? How well will it get monetized? And will it, you know, play in Peoria and across other platforms?
Well, it's certainly, yes, a consideration. We want to tell amazing original stories that there are audiences for, that can be really niche and specific content in different verticals. We actually are building content that's in, you know, all different genres, sci-fi through even female erotica, like our show with Demi Moore called Dirty Diana.
Yeah.
So we think broadly about the different interest areas consumers have. And then when it comes to things like derivatives in TV and film, that's definitely a consideration, though we are primarily focused to ensure that the podcast that we make is going to work on its own. And we turn down projects that won't work as a podcast. So we do think about the holistic view of the stories and the content that's being told, though.
Got it. So the pitch to Q-Code to develop a product is... it's not just you developing and finding the product, but it's also those coming to you, and you're looking at it through those lens first of will it play as a podcast? Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. And I should point out, like, the projects that Q-Code has developed, some of them come in as original podcast ideas. Others actually came from different forms of media to begin with. So the Left Right Game, for example, was a viral Reddit thread that we developed as a podcast and is now, you know, in development with Amazon. And, you know, we have other projects as well, like Dirty Diana came in as a book. So sometimes the idea for the podcast actually originates in another media type and becomes a podcast and then can go be that other media type as well.
Great. I knew you'd offer a good base for us. I want to do something that's common in marketing podcasts. I want to give props through cross promotion to Adlandia. It's a great B2B podcast about the industry, unless you think Insider Interviews is even better. But you were just on that episode last month, and it was packed with great information. I encourage the audience to find that episode with Steve Wilson on Adlandia. And in it, the hosts quoted Malcolm Gladwell, who said, "We think with our eyes and feel with our ears." Is that also how Q Code approaches projects?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, Malcolm Gladwell is a brilliant person to quote and put things so eloquently. You know, we definitely take a lot of pride in how we put our projects together. So Q Code, you know, really one of our pillars is rich sound design. We invest heavily in that area. We have a head of music who is incredible, you know, classically trained pianist. A guy named Darren Johnson. He was touring with Paula Abdul and discovered by Miles Davis, has done all kinds of work in TV and film. And he's the one who scores our podcast. And we also partnered with Dolby on Atmos. And Dolby Atmos isn't even really supported across the industry yet on the distribution side. But we've pre-produced all of our contents to really have that immersive sound, because we believe that sort of elevates and takes the stories to the next level. And we're seeing an increase on that side too, just in the way that TV and film progressed from, you know, television sets and, you know, CTRs up through, you know, 4K HDR. We're seeing that same increase in audio quality, and we make that a core part of the projects we make.
Excellent. I love that. Thank you for being our first mini episode.
Thank you.
Our second mini episode is Julika Lantigua Williams, and she is someone who has a long tenure in audio coming from NPR. And I think, Julika, your podcast network is maybe 4 years old.
Thank you. You've
been winning awards and press. You just hit 100 million downloads.
1 million.
1 million. Okay, from my mouth to God's ears.
Exactly. Amen.
Latina to Latina. You've been like Peabody nominated. You just won one of the first ever AMBYs, which is a new award in the podcast industry with Macmillan for driving the Green Book. And might I say, did I mention overachievers on this panel? She has 2 masters and 2 children. So anyway.
Which I don't know each which of those first. Counts as another master, by the way.
Yes. So you and I know each other a bit, but I want you to share with the audience your definition of multi-genre content. And if that's what you set out to build from the get-go with Lantigua Williams.
Oh, it absolutely was. One of the foundational tasks that I set for myself when I was employee one was to only pursue ideas that could be iterated in 5 different genres. So yes, I have always been very clear, and I tell people all the time, this is not an audience game, this is an IP game. And when I mentor people and I get to have real conversations about their intent coming into podcasts, I really have to emphasize to them how it is you live or die by the worth of your ideas, right? Not the size of your audience, and absolutely not your downloads. And so for me, it is imperative that we are always thinking in a multi-genre kind of landscape for our original shows and for our client shows. A lot of our decks to clients for proposals when we're going out for contracts include derivatives. So it's always like, and we could do this at your conference every year. We could do a podcast booth, and we could do a video series. And then on year 3, we can introduce a documentary. There's always that additive at the end so that people can envision what the outgrowth can be from a podcast.
I see. You know, one of the things that you mentioned in our last interview was that, well, Lantigua Williams specializes in amplifying marginalized voices, women of color, et cetera. It's more the outcome because of the stories that you wanted to tell. So that feels sort of like how you approach content in general. Think of it through the lens of multi-genre. Think of the stories that you want to tell, and the rest will fall into place. Is that right?
It's a little bit, I mean, we also, you know, produce podcasts for Marvel about geekdom and comic books. And, you know, Cedric and I will pull out our nerd cards every day because we just couldn't believe that we got to work on those. The DNA of what we do is based on the notion that there are so many interesting stories that we're just not getting to hear. And so how can we just get some of these really interesting stories out to the world? And then how can we shape them through the lens of our experience and our training and journalism? It has to pass the journalism test. We fact check everything. We make sure that people understand that there are ethical lines that cannot be crossed. And so I think that that brings a certain level of rigor to the storytelling.
And
so far, we've only had a very small foray into fiction. But even that was scrutinized. And so it's more about the veracity of what we're saying. And what we've discovered, you know, very gleefully, is that when we send things out into the world, the things that we send out into the world bring back friends.
right.
Not just the audience, like they bring back friends who write checks and want us to make other things with them, and they bring back friends who want to invite us to, you know, conferences and things like that. And so
let me ask you one more quick question before we move on to Shalene, who can relate to your Marvel experience. I'll just say what's the best way for a podcaster to present their show for other adaptations?
Piloting is really, really important for podcasting. I really have become unequivocal about this. Pitch decks are two-dimensional, and pitch decks rely, unfortunately, on other people's imagination. Mm-hmm. You have to pilot the thing. Even if it means 2 or 3 or 5 minutes, ultimately, you have to find the resources and the time, because no one is going to be able, in their mind, by themselves, sitting in front of a laptop, to really get what your vision is for the thing. So you want to telescopically get people to focus on your idea.
Awesome. Thank you, Jaleka. That was practically a master's in and of itself about planning for a podcast. Next up, Shalene. Shalene, the Olympics is on everyone's mind right now, I think. So I think you are like our all-star all around. You have more than 20 years in leading scripted, unscripted, animation development, TV, film, podcast projects. And you come from the Mac Daddy of content opportunities, Warner Brothers, with, you know, such an amazing library of those movies to television. So let's dive in. How do you prioritize what IP you're going to iterate, especially for podcasting?
Great question. You know, we are lucky in that we have this deep bench of IP, and whether that's DC or it's our original kind of films, and that goes back 100 years. So we do have this vast library. And what we try to look for is where we can service IP for the fans. So I'll use Batman as an example. Batman lives in so many different worlds and genres and all that, from kids and four quadrant family to adult and on. It's from comic books to television to films. And so in podcasting, we figured a character like Batman would be a great place to just tell an interesting, different, unique story and take that kind of really known character and maybe do something that we haven't quite done on a different format. So it's a case by case basis, but we really try to look at it on a bigger, more global scale of like, what's a story, what's a character that is kind of known, but we're doing something a little different or that just we haven't explored yet. So
I love that. I really want to focus on the Batman project, because you heard it here first, maybe it is going to be a podcast, but here's the question. It's beloved IP. There have been many versions of it. There are a lot of fans out there already doing their own podcasts around it. So how are you going to differentiate your podcast?
Sure. So just to be clear, we're doing a proper new original scripted podcast. So it's not a, you know, a fan thing or a talking head, or we're talking about the IP. It's actually telling a new and different story, but just doing it in the audio format. And so that's a little bit of the difference there. And the approach we're taking is kind of similar to what Steve said, in that we don't look at it as like, hey, well, let's put this up on its feet as a podcast, and then with the intention of making a television show or a film, like it has to stand alone as a different, cool, interesting, fun story on its own that the fans will love. And then if it happens to go to television or film, that's great. That's icing on the cake. But really, it's to tell this story that hasn't been done in a different format, but do it for audio.
What goes into this? What kind of team members have to create a whole new story from this IP and produce it?
Well, that's, you know, we're lucky in that at Warner Brothers, you know, we work with so many great, talented filmmakers, television writers, all of it. So we have a lot of people that we already are in business with, whether it's film or television. Some have deals with the company on a kind of a bigger scale. So we do have access to just amazing storytellers. And it's really been getting the word out internally and with our partners that, hey, we are really interested in exploring scripted podcasting for the company. And if there are stories you've been wanting to tell, and maybe this is a new place to tell those stories. And so we've been lucky to work with people that just we've been in business for a long time. So
do you want to drop names?
The one that was announced was David Goyer, who's known for Batman. And so, yeah, that's our first one with that. So it's exciting. We're in production on that right now.
And when are you looking to launch this? How long will it take?
We're still figuring it out. We're hoping by the end of the year, but it's still a little bit TBD right now.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. What have been your personal biggest learnings about audio? Given your strong background in, you know, video, film, et cetera, was there a big learning curve moment for you personally?
Of course. Yeah. You know, I come from television, but I've always been on the production and the creation side, working with creators, working with writers and all of that, and just in the business of storytelling. And specifically to audio, you know, there are just a lot of things that work in television or film in a visual medium that don't work for audio. So it might be simple to say that, oh, it works for television, but not. But that's been our biggest learning curve. It's, you know, how many characters can you have in a scene? How would action play out? How would certain things that we weren't used to looking at in reviewing material and reading scripts that we've really had to kind of put blinders on and really focus, like, okay, this is audio only, the visual element isn't there. And so that might sound a little bit simplistic, but really it's focusing and shifting away from a visual medium into kind of hearing how it would sound, and then working with sound design and things that Steve actually mentioned, of just interesting new sound editing and different programs that are coming. And so really it's been that.
Yeah. Beautiful. And that teed me up for our last mini episode. So thank you, Shalene. Glenn, none of the things we're talking about here would be possible without talent. And I think that you epitomize that also as an all around. You were humble enough to not mention one of only three people on the planet to have hit number one on the iTunes podcast list for three separate programs. So Snap Judgment, Spooked, and Heaven's Gate. And that, of course, turned into an HBO docuseries. So with audio, you might have to fill the sounds with footsteps walking away. With video, you can show it. So what's more challenging for you, video, audio? How do you think about all of the aspects that go into creating and performing in each medium?
You know, at this point, 10 years into it, I'm all in on the audio side. But I will say both my partner, Mark Ristich, and I, we started making short films. And kind of very, very similar, you know, learning curve to what Shailene was talking about. You can't have as many characters. You can't have as much stuff going on. You have to really focus. And oftentimes audio really benefits from a single strong lead in a lot, much different way than a film might. You can take a more omniscient view in a film than you can oftentimes in audio. But we love both. I want a lot of our stuff to be cross-platform, but first and foremost, it's got to work for us as an audio story.
I love that. And I'm hearing that as a through line from everyone here. And I'll also ask you, being, you know, a triple hitter, what are some of the other through lines of creating a successful podcast?
Juleka basically mentioned the idea that whomever you're pitching stuff to, assume they don't have the imagination to understand it in its various iterations. And you really have to show everyone everything. Everything has to be very, very explicit.
Yes, because she was talking about create a pilot, make sure it works.
Yeah. So I'll just give you an example. When we first started Snap Judgment, I used to do the music a lot of time for various stories. I would score things myself. I love scoring stories. But when the pros came in, and when they did it, and then I would try to go in there and mess around, like, you know, you better get up out of here. You're messing with the levels and breaking stuff, and let the guys who know what's doing do their thing. I wasn't even able to properly speak their language of a real musician. I thought I had a little something, but they're doing things on a whole different level. I think oftentimes it's hard to realize you're not even speaking the language of a different platform, that and you have to kind of accept that, go back, rework, figure out, you know, how do they, musicians speak differently than poets speak differently than fiction makers speak differently than filmmakers. And they all speak differently than studio execs. So you got to understand the language of whomever it is you're talking to.
Great. So, and delegate to the experts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You want to maintain your vision. You want to steer your vision. It's actually very important that you do. Delegation is all well and good, but the energy, the creativity, the fire behind any project is oftentimes bound up in the creators, and you never want to lose that.
Oh, this audience is going to love hearing that, and they're going to be agreeing again also. Two quick questions for you. Heaven's Gate, how did that find its way to HBO Max? We had talked before with Steve about, were you pitched it or did you pitch with Pineapple Street to help move things forward? What did you have to consider?
I think Pineapple Street, the idea was really flattering and kind of scary at the same time. They came to me and they said, look, we want to do this story on this cult story, and we thought that you would be a good host for it. If you don't want to do it, we won't do the project. But if you do,
no pressure.
Yeah, if you do want to do it, we think it's multi-platform. So whatever you think, do you have the time? Do you have the energy to do this? And so, given it some consideration, it was a story that, again, they were right. Because I do have a cult background, because I did grow up in a cult, telling a story that allowed me to revisit kind of my own background in a different way was very appealing to me. Mm. And so when you start to talk about speaking different languages, they spoke mine when they came to me at the project.
Excellent. You heard Glenn talk about growing up in a cult. This is another reason why you should go and read his full bio. Fascinating. And so... we're all trying to market our content as best as possible. I know touring had been a big thing for you and you were aiming to tour internationally again. Any advice on growing your listening audience these days?
Yeah. If you're on the podcast side, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of energy, a lot of things going on. But I will just say this, like for myself, we are producing 90 new episodes of content this year.
90?
90.
Wow.
Okay. And these are oftentimes, these are ongoing series. One of the best ways, people say, how do I break into podcasting? There's 2 million podcasts or 4 million, whatever, but there's a lot. There's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. Break in. There's a lot.
The way that you break in and the way that you actually get good is the same way you get good. People get good writing, to get good acting, to get good anything else. What you do is you make something that is an homage to something else. If you have a figure out the top 10 podcasts in your genre and say, I'm going to make something for them. And you go to them. If someone came to me in the middle of the summertime when I want to go on break, and said, I have a story that I think will work for Snap. And I listen to it and it does. I'm going to kiss you and name all my grandchildren after you. Right? For real. Now, if it doesn't work, that's cool too, but you've done the thing that you, like, you know, everyone else initially, I'm podcasting, wants to make something that sounds like Ira Glass. You should probably do that. You should probably make something that sounds like Ira Glass as best you can. And then you go and start doing your own thing, if that's the type of genre you are. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is that right now, podcasters are not yet like these crazy elites who you can't get contact with. You can talk to just about everyone. And we're still like this band of crazy rebels that are fighting against the barricades. We're still like that. And it might not like, might not be like that forever. And I think new people in this place, in this space, take advantage of the fact that you can still talk to everybody.
You have at least one new fan. Thank you, Glenn. I couldn't help myself. We ran a little long, so I'm going to do two quick lightning round questions, one or two word answers. Steve.
I'm all in on kids. I think there's a huge opportunity for kids and families to listen together.
Okay. Shalene?
God, it's easy to say, but I still feel like true crime isn't going anywhere and just keeps working and working and working. So I'd say double down there.
Yep. And Glenn?
I think that supernatural storytelling isn't going anywhere either. And I also think that the story behind music, in any way, shape, or form you want to do it, I think that Song Exploder, living on podcasting and TV and touring is this perfect nexus of what we're talking about.
Great point. Shalene, your favorite cross-platform show or product, Batman not included.
Batman not included. I still loved Homecoming. That was one of the early ones. I still think it's one of the best ones done, and the fact that it has jumped platforms. But yeah, I think that was just incredibly well done.
Steve Wilson.
Well, I'm going to get the opportunity to pick Batman then, which is actually one of my favorites. I'm so excited about your upcoming podcast. I'm a huge Batman the Animated Series fan and taking my kids through that classic. So yeah, I get to throw that in there. I'm excited.
And I'm actually going to second that. Little known fact, my doorman call me Batgirl because I actually had bats in my New York City apartment at one point. So I have to go with Steve and that. Jaleika.
I was going to say Song Explorer. Thanks, Glenn. The second one is To the Queens. I mean, come on. To get a comedy tour out of a podcast? What?
I know. Okay. This was so amazing. Thank you so much for joining us, Shalene, Glenn, Juleika, Steve. I'm E.B. Moss for Content Cast.
Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.